Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies and I travel across these great states talking to small business owners, CEOs, policymakers, musicians, and mentors about making money, giving back, and balancing life. I find out how they prioritize professional and personal time while still making money. Yes, indeed, our guests are real heavyweights in understanding business and life. So get ready to relax, learn a little bit, and get a cup of coffee ready because my name is Jason Spies and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Welcome to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. What a fantastic program we have in store for you today. We talk with Blue Hulsey with Continental Resources. They just secured a contract with an overseas refinery, and Blue's going to explain how this American crude oil will end up in China, yet produce more American jobs and help stimulate the economy even more. Plus, workplace wellness with Paul Armentano, Deputy Director for Normal, talk about the national opiate epidemic and how the cannabis industry could play a role with its current research and results. They're finding amazing research and results when it comes to the cannabis industry, weaning people off the opioids that is have a serious epidemic across the nation. Plus, Dave McCarthy, B Square, explains what IoT technology is, how industries are incorporating it into their daily activities. And to close the show off, we talk with Dr. Neil Bernard. You might recognize him from Super Size Me. He was one of the three doctors in Super Size Me. Of course, many of you remember Super Size Me as the movie where the gentleman, Morgan Spurlock, I believe was his name, ate McDonald's for 30 straight days. Dr. Neil Bernard was one of the three doctors begging him to go off that diet. Bernard joins us a little bit later in the program talking about the growing plant-based diets, what's going on here, the new products on the shelf, restaurants accommodating to this ever-growing plant-based diet. So for you aspiring entrepreneurs out there that are trying to figure out a way to get some workplace wellness dollars, this interview with Dr. Neil Bernard will be for you. Okay, my name is Jason Spies. This is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard right here on the Crude Life Media Network. It seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
To see Eric Hatch grow his business and then start to share it with other people, I think is one of those great steps in life. You know, what do you do in society? You succeed at a thing and then you teach other people how you did it. And now to see Eric duplicating his genius across the country, I'm telling you, there's a world changer down the street, and his name is Eric Hatch.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard of the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Blue Hulsey with Continental Resources. Selling some crude oil out to China. Of course, some people got their heads turned right away on something like that. But this has got to be exciting news for you guys with Continental Resources, taking advantage of something now after, what, 2 years since they've lifted that ban? Help me out with the timelines.
Yes. So in 2015, it was December of 2015, Congress did lift the export ban. It was something that, and that's a date we remember because we worked really, really hard on that 2 years prior to that, and really trying to move that along. So that 2015 time frame was something that we worked really hard. We were talking, we had just entered the downturn of that final year in 14, and so it was really the end of 14, so it was really a tough a tough situation where we were from a market perspective, and talking about the need to access additional markets and looking at the artificial difference between world price, Brent price, and WTI. And that was really something that allowed us to go to Capitol Hill and talk about the need for us to gain world market and really talk about what disadvantage that was putting U.S. crude producers to world producers.
The one thing that actually I wrote down two things when I read that news story was the first one, what does this mean for workers? And then secondly, what does this mean for consumers? And I would I would think at the end of the day, they both have to be pretty good news.
You know, it is. I will tell you from a consumer standpoint, the ability for us to get having long-term contracts with not only with refiners here as well as refiners around the world, it puts American producers in the driver's seat of where we're going from an energy perspective. And then, again, I think that's really beneficial as we talk about long-term energy security, long-term energy dominance, as the Trump administration has talked before about what that means for jobs in our economy and obviously just energy to do economic activity in our country. I think that's a fantastic, as we continue to push that forward and continue to do new things from a development standpoint, finding those markets and ensuring that we have those buyers and that we can, as Americans, enter into partnership to provide energy to other parts of the world and create allies through energy development is a key part and a key part of geopolitical improvement and what our country is going to do. I think that will benefit both the consumers and the producers to find those markets and allow us to continue to develop our resources here at home.
You know, and I look at it like, you know, when you mentioned the downturn and their low prices, whatever the term is that we're calling it these days, but low oil prices were happening and everybody had to tighten their belt straps a little bit or expand or contrast or kind of look for some new markets. And off air, I kind of told you about a new market that I had to get into, more into the capitalism side of things as opposed to the energy, just because we had to streamline and figure out what we had to deal with. I look at this as you guys went out and found a new market, you know, and so the reason I wrote down workers, it would seem to me if you guys are finding more work or more buyers, it's going to keep people employed longer because, you know, it's no secret that the energy industry, you know, it's like farming. It's a commodity price-based industry. So I would think this would be good news for workers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the things to look at between, you know, world price and WTI price, you know, and including in the North Dakota area, you had, first of all, you had a discount for transportation, and then you're getting a discount of WTI price, which is what you priced at Cushing versus Brent world price. You know, that could be up to, you know, you could see a $10 differential.
To listen to the full-length interview with Blue Hulsey from Continental Resources or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/thecrudelife, facebook.com/thecrudelife. Of course, all those social media links can be found at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. Up next, Paul Armentano, Deputy Director for Normal. Being joined with Paul Armentano, Deputy Director for Normal. Been speaking with him for almost a decade now that I'm thinking about it. I mean, how long have you been with Normal now that I'm thinking about it?
Off for the better part of the last 20 years.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, and I've been, it shows me that I've been doing cannabis related stories for the past 10, 15 years, that sort of thing. And so the one that we're going to be talking about today specifically revolves around the opioid addiction. I guess it's a national crisis now, and also how that relates to medicinal marijuana, because I've read some articles, I've seen some overviews that relate to the reduction of it and actually causing some help. So Paul Armentano has done a number of columns as well as research on it, so he's more of an expert than I am in any way. So let's just kind of dive right into it, and kind of some stories that I was reading, the research that was available, is that there's a reduction in like overdose deaths. So I kind of wanted to just start with that, because that seems to be the most serious part of it. So what is your knowledge and your research seen when it comes to cannabis and opioids with overdose death?
So we actually have quite a lot of peer-reviewed data assessing the relationship between marijuana and opioids, and the results are fairly consistent. Specifically, we see that in jurisdictions where marijuana is legally accessible, we see a significant reduction in the overall use of opioids and other conventional prescription drugs as well. We see a reduction in opioid-related abuse. We see a reduction in opioid-related hospitalizations. We see a reduction in traffic accidents where drivers test positive for opioids. And as you said in your opening, most importantly, we see a decrease in opioid-related mortality. Fewer people are dying from the use of opioids, including black market opioids like heroin, in jurisdictions where marijuana is legal as compared to those states where marijuana still remains illicit. And again, this data now is consistent and prevalent.
Now, when we talked about data, and you kind of ran through quite a bit of different angles, which is great. You know, we talked to prescription abuse. You talked about even, some, I believe, some savings. I was quickly writing down some of the things you were going through there. And getting back to where this research is coming from, kind of right from the foundation, I imagine there has been enough states now that has a medicinal cannabis program to where they probably have some data, or is it coming from universities? Where's the data derived from?
Well, the data is coming from academicians in a number of different universities. It's also coming from research that's sponsored by the federal government, as most research with regard to marijuana is. And we're talking about peer-reviewed research that is published in the scientific journals, like the American Journal of Public Health, like the Journal of the American Medical Association. On Normal's website, if you go to the section about marijuana, we have a series of fact sheets that compile and summarize and link to directly to the source material for all of these relevant papers and studies.
How about when it comes to research in other countries? But actually before that, a few years ago when I was doing cannabis caucus, it was a political thing, I discovered that there was really only one university doing any sort of cannabis research. I think it was University of Alabama, if my memory serves me. But one of the things in North Dakota that Marty Riskey, who's a libertarian gubernatorial candidate in the past, has brought up, he was a big proponent of legalized cannabis, has talked about how the university really could benefit from some research. And he would always bring up the opioid addiction, and this was several years ago. Are you hearing anything about the university side of things where they're focused on that? Or, you know, just talk about the growth from, you know, the University of Alabama to now.
Sure. Well, I would take umbrage with that statement. I'm of the opinion that cannabis is one of the most scientifically studied substances on the planet. And if one simply goes to PubMed, which is the repository for all peer-reviewed scientific journal articles published anywhere in the world, and one does a keyword search typing in the term marijuana, you will yield over 26,000 peer-reviewed scientific papers specific to either the cannabis plant or its organic constituents. About 15,000 of those papers have been published just within the last decade. That is a significant volume of scientific literature. For instance, because we were talking about the opioid epidemic earlier, if one was to conduct that same keyword search using the term hydrocodone, colloquially known as Vicodin, one of the most prescribed opioids on the market, you won't even find more than 1,000 published papers specific to Vicodin. We know exponentially more about cannabis and the way it interacts with living organisms and the impact of the drug on society than we know about most of these other conventional substances, simply because cannabis has been subject to far more scientific scrutiny. Any university in this country can study cannabis, and most of them do.
So let's talk a little bit about what's happened over the past week. Paul Armentano, Deputy Director for Normal, we're talking a little bit about the opioids and how it relates to cannabis, either medicinal or research. Obviously, Trump came out last week with his statement to where, like I said, I believe it's state of a, you know, a war on, state of emergency. I can't remember the proper term, but where, you know, and there's also two-thirds of Americans I was seeing that are in favor of legalized marijuana or at least medicinal side of things. What's going on in the world of politics right now when it comes to Trump and this opioid addiction with the cannabis industry?
Well, you're correct. A Gallup poll just came out last week that said just shy of two-thirds of American adults believe that the use of marijuana by adults ought to be legal. That is the highest percentage of support that has ever been recorded in a Gallup poll. And Gallup has been surveying Americans' attitudes with regard to marijuana legalization going back to 1969. So we have quite a long timeline with which we can look at. Notably, and I do think this is terribly important, we have seen a dramatic rise in American support for legalization in just the last few years.
To listen to the full-length interview with Paul Armentano, Deputy Director for Normal, or listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/thecrudelife. Of course, all the social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies. This is Coffee and Capitalism Radio.
Nice to have something fun.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any Coffee and Capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
When I think of the world that I want to live in, it's with people that care, that take risks, that reinvent themselves, reinvent their organizations, reinvent their industries. And Eric's a model citizen for that. He's trying to solve problems. He's trying to bring people into those solutions. He does incredibly well, but he lives generously. I think a community filled with people like Eric that are solving problems, giving it their best, and creating an environment for others to lead and soar and succeed, that's a place I want to live. And so Eric's the type of person that's in my community, and I'm really grateful for that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
When it's time.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. Up next, Dave McCarthy, Senior Director of Products for B Square.
Back to the ways of John and June, Ram and Lou.
First of all, how about your background? I had a quick skim of your background. It looks like you keynote a number of technology conferences. It looks to me like you've got a pretty decent background in the world of innovation and technology.
Yeah, I got started in software and technology about 20 or so years ago. In fact, actually, the first company I worked for was an ABB company that was doing simulations of ethylene and polystyrene plants. And so for me, what I really enjoyed about it was trying to use technology to solve some sort of a business problem. And I would say, you know, as you look through the things that I've done over the years, you know, that's always stayed true.
Did you stay kind of in that ethylene, that oil and gas technology stage, or is this kind of coming full circle to get back involved in the oil? And we'll get into the oil and gas a bit in just a minute or two. Are you coming full circle, or is this something that you just kind of stuck with the whole time?
Yeah, no, it's so it just happened to be that right out of school, I got started at that company, and it was a great way of getting grounded. But then I kind of took a detour into just general technology areas, a lot of aspects around, you know, mobile and networking and data solutions, and then as the sort of these concepts sort of coming together again under the umbrella of IoT, and now specifically industrial IoT, all of a sudden I found myself back in that industry again. So it's been interesting to, you know, to see it all come together.
I kind of chuckled as you were talking because, you know, my first job, I was 10 years, well, picking rocks when I was five, but that doesn't count. But my first job that I got a check from a third party was a paper boy. I was 10 years old, And the thing that I learned was the importance of logistics through that, as far as the day-to-day distribution and going door-to-door, that sort of thing. And then my job out of college was working for a trucking company. Of course, when you work for a trucking company, it doesn't take long for you to absorb just the whole logistics that go into a trucking company and that sort of thing. And then now that I'm in oil and gas, I kind of feel like I'm going back into the logistics business again, even though it's oil and gas, because when I look at everything involved with oil and gas, the logistics are off the chart. I mean, they have some of the most complex and some of the most innovative uses for logistics. And then when you bring in sort of the technology aspect of automation and simplifying, is that kind of where, first of all, how B squared, talk about what you guys did and then transition, or what you guys do and then transition to how it is you got connected in the oil and gas world. I'm just assuming these days almost everybody is getting involved with logistics, but I guess I thought ahead with my transition. But go ahead and talk about your company and how you guys got into oil and gas.
Well, yeah, so B squared in general helps industrial companies improve the uptime, manageability, and performance of capital-intensive, often mission-critical assets. We do that through a set of pre-built applications that align to common oil and gas use cases and that are built on our DataV industrial IoT platform. But, you know, I say that, and it's, you know, what's interesting about it is it doesn't matter whether I'm talking to an oil and gas company or a manufacturing company or a transportation company. You ask them, you know, how important it is of doing sure uptime of critical operations, how important is it to make sure that you're running, you know, whatever process you're doing efficiently. And those same use cases are very portable between industries. And so when B squared in general looked at, you know, IoT, there was one thing that we knew we didn't want to do, and that was the consumer side with, you know, wearables and home automation. You know, we wanted to go and solve, you know, big problems for big companies. And it just happens that oil and gas is just one of those industries where there's a lot of those opportunities.
Well, and that was one of the things I had written down, was particular industry or department / internal. And it sounds to me like you guys are doing more of the internal customizations as opposed to coming up with a technology that is beneficial to one specific industry. You guys are involved in multiple industries outside of oil and gas, correct?
Yeah, you know, so whether it's we've got customers in manufacturing, we do some work in transportation, we're doing some space work in the utility space around electric utilities and oil and gas. And what's interesting is, you know, it really does kind of subdivide into two major categories. There are the equipment manufacturers or OEMs that are providing, you know, equipment and services into those spaces. And then there are the, you know, the owner operators or fleet managers, whether it's a fleet of oil pumps or it's a fleet of trucks. I mean, either way, it's people that have to live and manage and use that equipment. And so when, you know, myself or B Square as a company looks at these things, we try to not just understand that initial sort of point of entry of maybe where data is being collected or generated, but it's how do all these pieces fit together? Because, you know, when you really start getting into it, I mean, there's, you can almost start sort of blurring lines between the types of use cases these industries have.
I'm going to back up for just a second, and I should probably define IoT. What is IoT for the layman out there?
Yeah, so it's funny. I'll tell you that when, even to this day, I'll walk into an industrial company and I'll say that I'm in the IoT business, and they'll say, what is IoT? And to me, that's completely acceptable. I mean, it's a high-tech industry term now that's come together to really encompass a lot of different technologies, everything from being able to have, you know, sensors and data connectivity to get information off of equipment, all the way to the analytics that's used to be able to understand what that data means, and then tying it into the automation so that, you know, if you think about or if you believe any of the analyst projections about, you know, it doesn't matter if it's millions or billions or trillions of data points, I mean, you need some way of getting the human out of the picture a little bit to achieve that scalability. And so it's kind of, to me, IoT isn't any one thing that's new, but it's how these things are being brought together.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dave McCarthy, Senior Director of Products for B Square, or listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/thecrudelife, facebook.com/thecrudelife. Of course, all of our social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Back to the ways of John and June, Ram and them and Lou. Well, you build a bridge and I'll hammer on the harmony. After the hard week's work, we'll need a mighty fine melody.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any Coffee and Capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
All the lonesome souls go. Who wrote their songs of living? And now it's our souls left. For the giving, we already know how it's done. Let's put our lives on hold and run, dodging the clouds and heading for the sun.
The past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Dr. Neil Barnard. doctor, author, clinical researcher, and founding president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. The growth of the plant-based diets, I would imagine you've seen a spike in your book sales and that sort of thing. So if we could kind of talk about both at the same time, some of your books that you've written and just your observations of the vegetarian market to the actual specific vegan type market out there. I went to Walmart the other day and they actually have catering to gluten-free and vegan diets.
Well, yes. And stores have to have it. If they don't, they're missing out on a huge chunk of the market. And as a matter of fact, even people who are not 100% vegan are looking for vegan foods. For any football fans out there, the Green Bay Packers quarterback is Aaron Rodgers. And he announced years ago he wasn't going to have dairy in his diet. Now, for the person who is in the cheesehead state to say he doesn't want to have dairy, that's really saying something. And the reason he said that is that the dairy causes inflammation for a lot of people. He wants to extend his career and be at as high a performance as he can be for as long as he can be. And it's paid off for him. It's paid off for him really, really, really well. So Tom Brady with the Patriots made the same decision. If you are running a business and you don't recognize that there's some people looking for non-dairy ice cream, for example, or cheeses that aren't made from dairy, the vegan cheeses, or vegan hot dogs instead of the ones that give you cancer, the pork and beef hot dogs, those are carcinogenic. So if you don't recognize that people are looking for healthy foods, you're shooting yourself in the foot as a business person. So, or restaurants, you can have a table of four people. One or two of them might be vegan and the others may not, but you want to make sure that everybody wants to come back to your restaurant. And at the Mexican Village on Main Avenue in Fargo, ever since I was in high school, I would go there and have their number two burrito, which is the jalapeno burrito. And if you leave the cheese off it, it is totally vegan. There's no lard in the beans. It's clean. It's spicy and delicious, but it's a healthy choice. And restaurants understand that, so... I'm glad that they are now serving people the foods that they want.
How about some of your books? I'm thinking of like the Reversing Diabetes book. That's got to be 10 years ago, but that was primarily just, promoting a vegan diet and talking about some of the changes that was happening in the world of diabetes. Are you seeing to me, it's interesting because not only is the information kind of evergreen, meaning it's got, shelf lives, but you were so far ahead of the curve that you're probably selling more books now than you did 10 years ago on that topic.
It's funny you mentioned that. Yes, I wrote a book called Dr. Neil Barnard's Program for Reversing Diabetes, and it came out in 2007. But it was based on research that started with us back in 1999, where we started doing studies on people who had diabetes already, and we were testing what's the best diet. And so we would test some people on a more conventional diet that limited carbohydrate and would try to reduce calories to help people with diabetes. That's a pretty conventional approach. But in a head-to-head test, if you use a vegan diet and compare it to that kind of diet, the vegan diet is dramatically better. You'll have more people reducing their medicines. Sometimes they come off their medicines altogether. Sometimes the diabetes just disappears. It's a great way to go. And the National Institutes of Health funded us in 2003 for this kind of research, and so when the research is over, I thought I didn't want to just have people who read medical journals know about this. I wanted to write a book for the public, and so that was Dr. Neil Barnard's Program for Reversing Diabetes. But I got to tell you, my latest book is called The Cheese Trap, and the reason I wrote that is that we found people who changed their diets and did great.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dr. Neil Barnard or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Be sure to check out our Facebook page and follow it as well. We bring you interviews like this as well as other exclusive content. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard right here on the Crude Life Media Network. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Car's dead, the engine's froze, I feel the wind chill down to my toes. Well, I'm glad I don't live too far away. Well, the moonlight shining on my walk home, I'm breathing in cold, exhaling smoke. So quiet I can hear it all. And I'm walking out.
If you have any Coffee and Capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Quick, Jack, gonna jump over the candlestick. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
And that concludes this week's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. For a full list of today's guest and interview, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. We'll be back next week on this radio station at this time. For a full list of our radio affiliates and other media partners, please visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and from the staff here at Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we're asking you to be happy, make money, and give back. Thanks for joining us this week, folks.
Sign on our front porch saying, hot stuff for sale, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Seems like no matter who I talk to in the world of business these days, people are telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what Jeff Schatz, superintendent of the Fargo Public Schools, has to say about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching.
I just thought that his story about how he talks about the struggles that he and his family went through and having children, and how, you know, everybody has a hot mess, and how do you deal with that in life? And I just thought that really resonates well with, you know, folks. And so I thought that would be a great message for everybody to hear. Well, then beyond that, I've also seen Eric do some of the other things that he does with emceeing and leading other types of things that he does. He does coaching, I know, with students where the principals have hired him to come in and do that. So I just extended that opportunity for him to be the MC too. He was very well received.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.